This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Pittsburgh Steelers fans, what is going on? This is Jeff Hartman, joined by Dave Schofield, Brian Anthony Davis for another episode of the Steelers Preview. Sometimes when we're talking before we go on the air, it's hysterical, and maybe one of these days you'll be privy to this conversation. So I don't know. But are we live on YouTube yet, Dave? I don't see any little eyeballs yet.
Yep. It just popped on my phone. Just now.
Man, there it is. All right, welcome. Welcome to all the YouTube viewers that are watching live on YouTube. Remember, you can follow us on YouTube. I go to BTSC Steelers Radio and subscribe to the channel. It's always appreciated. But guys, how is everyone doing tonight? Dave, we'll start with you.
I'm excited to spend some time with you fellas, with my Steelers family and everyone in the live chat.
What about you, BAD? What's up?
Absolutely fantastic. And feeling good. I mean, I know it's Memorial Day weekend. It's probably a weird Memorial Day weekend. Jeff just found out it was Memorial
Day. I did. I was like, really?
But
Everything makes sense now.
I'm feeling good, and I've been celebrating all day because today is Cree Ickes' birthday, and I saw he just showed up in the live chat.
Cree,
a great contributor to our show, and with all of our family there in the live chat. So happy birthday to Cree.
Happy birthday indeed. And so I want to lay out the schematics for tonight's show. We're going to talk about Steelers stuff to start off, kind of Steelers stuff, more NFL as a society stuff. And then we're going to break down a player. But since, you know, we went backwards and I told Dave, like, everyone's going forward from first to last. We're going to go last to first. But you did Kevin Dotson this week on the Stat Geek, right?
That's what it was going
all
forward.
Right. So we're skipping that one, and we're going to go to Anthony McFarland, the running back, tonight. And then next week we can do Kevin Dotson or whatever. So, okay. And then after that, there is an announcement that we want to make. So stick with us, and you'll get that announcement towards the end of the show. But let's get things started with, you know, our production meeting was literally one text from Dave saying production meeting, and I said football, and that was it.
And I said nothing.
I'm like, you know what? Jeff must have a plan. I'll just roll with it.
I walked upstairs into my office and said, what are we going to talk about? I was like, you know what? I just thought to myself, sports without fans is going to be awful. It's just going to be awful. Any sport, hockey, golf, baseball, football, tennis. I don't care what sport you're talking about. Not having fans in the seats. And that looks like it's going to be a very, very strong reality this year. That's going to be weird. Now, I thought of bringing this up tonight, not because I want to get into a in-depth coronavirus COVID-19 debate. That is not it. But Dave Schofield is a season ticket holder to the Steelers. Brian Anthony Davis has been to Heinz Field more than I have. I want to get your guys' take. What do you think a regular season game at Heinz Field would be like without any fans at all? Brian, I want to start with you.
Well, let me start with this. You know, and I talk about this a lot. I'm a big wrestling fan. I still watch WWE, and they are still doing shows without fans. And it is really, they're trying, but it's really generic. And that fan involvement when the music hits and the crowd goes nuts, it's not there. They did WrestleMania that way this year, and they did the best to put on a great show. And whether you like wrestling or you don't, it's kind of showed. It foreshadowed what we're going to see when there's nobody in the stands. Now, for me, it's going to be cool to go ahead and just have football back and watch it. If we get hockey back, the same thing. Mm-hmm. But that excitement and the fever pitch of the crowd and the announcer at the beginning going, this crowd is going nuts. And you, Pittsburgh games, what's paramount all the time? Yellow towels. Just, I mean, you're seeing them go crazy and that fires them up. Dave, what's the first thing? I told you one of my favorite things is when we went to the game together, and it's after the announcements, when the players sprint out the closed end zone and just wave to the fans and get them fired up. And it is, if you're a sports fan, it's a religious experience to watch. But when you turn it on television, it's the same thing. You're not in the crowd, but that crowd fires you up.
Yeah. Dave, your season ticket holder, you've been to a lot of games. I mean, Renegade playing without the crescendo of the fan base and the fever pitch of that. I mean,
would it be worth it?
Well, that's one of the questions. And let me preface before I go to you. You know, a lot of people like Kathy Ford said golf would be fine. You know, I say go back and watch the highlights of the 2019 Masters when Tiger Woods won and tell me that if the crowd wasn't there, would it still be the same? Golf would still be the same, just like football would still be the same. But that event is not the same. It's different. It is. I get goosebumps thinking about it because it was such a magical moment in that one tournament. But anyways, like, I realized that football without a fans is better than no football at all. No one is saying that. Yes. I'm just talking about from a fan's perspective being there. But also, before you go, Dave, do you think this would be different watching from a visual perspective? So look, I don't go to games often at all, really. Always watching in my living room. Is it going to be weird for me even watching on TV? I don't want them to pipe in noise. And that's something Joe Buck said that Fox is already talking about doing. I think that's generic. I don't need that. This is so strange. Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, well, first of all, what we're not talking about is will there or won't there be? We're not talking. That's not the discussion. The discussion is if there isn't, what's it going to be like? Brian brought up the wrestling thing, and I can just imagine, you know, Hulk Hogan coming into the ring and doing his ear listening to nothing.
To nothing. You know?
And what the Rock is cooking.
Same thing. I think of TJ Watt out there, you know, big defensive play, arms up, getting the crowd fired up. What are you going to do? I mean, it is going to be strange watching a game with no fans in the stands, because sometimes as you're watching something, you know what's happening based on the cheers. Mm-hmm. You know, two guys go up for the ball and you're not sure which one comes down with it. I mean, sometimes the fans don't know in the stands either, but sometimes you can just gauge that off the reaction of the crowd and things like that. It's going to be way different. It's going to be a very strange thing to deal with, but it will be a thousand, a million, a billion times better than no football at all. If it's the sacrifice we have to make in order to have football, let's do it. But it'll be strange. It'll be strange. Would it be as strange? What if it's only, you know, 20 or 25% capacity? What if they work out something with that? That's still going to be weird too. You'll get a little bit of something, but it just won't be the same.
Yeah, no, you're right. And it's going to be interesting. And I bring this up solely for one reason. Yesterday it was announced that the Pittsburgh, or it might've been Tuesday, I don't even know what day of the week it is, that the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to go ahead and sell individual available season tickets. And according to everyone, I didn't see anything on the Steelers website. I didn't see anything from the PR department in regards to their Twitter handle. I didn't see anything from even like someone like Brooke Pryor of ESPN in them saying that they were going to have any stipulations with that. It almost seemed like, Dave, you might know more. Go ahead. What's the answer to that?
It's not through the Steelers.
It's through Ticketmaster. Oh, those rat bastards.
You go to Ticketmaster. Yeah. If you go to Ticketmaster to get your tickets, you have to click on and that you've read the message explaining with any of their tickets to NFL, anything, due to COVID-19, if games are rescheduled, you will have your ticket for the rescheduled game. If games are not played, you will have a 100% refund. That is Ticketmaster. Now, fans might not realize they already sold Steelers tickets. There was a pre-sale last Friday.
I didn't know that.
I actually looked at it because I had the code. Anyone who's part of Steelers Nation Unite should have got a code. I got the code was SNU2020.
I didn't even look.
I went in just to see because I wanted. I was honestly, there's a couple games that are the high tier games. That the two high tier games this year for people that are wanting price wise, this was reported, is the Thanksgiving night game and the Eagles game. And I went in and I put my high tier games for sale through Ticket Exchange, which is Ticketmaster. I'd rather sell them to someone I know because Ticketmaster, they take too much of a bite out of it.
Yeah.
But bottom line is I'm telling anyone who buys tickets from me, if there's no game, I get refunded, you get refunded. And right. End of story. But that there's going to be a lot less people buying tickets like that. I just went in to check my tickets and I had to enter the code. That's the only way I knew. But they don't put all the tickets out for sale in that pre-sale. So they're available, but that's the Ticketmaster policy. I'm surprised they did it. I thought they might hold off because how do they handle it if they're talking about partial capacity? Which tickets do you decide are valid and which ones do you decide are not? And what happens if someone bought four tickets, but they did it in two different orders and things like that, then you're separating. It could get tricky. I just thought they might wait. But at the same time, you got to sell the tickets when you can sell them.
Another part of this is the, like, for instance, I have DirecTV for one reason, and that is NFL Sunday Ticket. That is the only reason why I am a DirecTV subscriber and have been, because I have to watch the games because it's my job to watch the games. And that's the only way to get the games. I wonder what the NFL is going to do if it is deemed unsafe to be in a stadium. How are you going to get these games out to the masses without charging $400, I guess? Maybe they just say, well, I guess you better get DirecTV, but boy, wouldn't that stink. I mean, you might have people that are trying that you would typically go to every game. And I know that most people don't. Most people watch from home. I understand all that. But at the same time, when 65,000 people that are going to go to Heinz Field and they might have come from all over, I'm wondering if they're going to do any extra stipulations, whether maybe it's YouTube. They've toyed around with that. They've toyed with Twitter. Yahoo is also, these are ones that, especially when they do those, overseas games, they have toyed around with some other platforms. I'm wondering, Hulu has live sports. We all know that. Maybe they would toy around with some of that. I'm curious as to how that might play a role into this situation as well. Brian, I don't know if you want to say anything about that.
Yeah. You know, just to wrap this whole thing up on my end, I just feel like it'll be less of an event without the crowd, because a crowd makes an event. That's what I was trying to say there. But as far as everything else goes about DirecTV, we just gave up DirecTV and we went to Hulu. So you just made me feel really good, because if Hulu has live sports and I could have my games, I'm going to go ahead and do that. But the plan, I told my wife all along, we can give it up, but come September, the 1st of September, we're getting it back for 3 months.
Yeah.
And if that's what I have to do to make sure that I get all the games, because you know, we are second fiddle to not just the Ravens, but the Redskins, when you live in Maryland. Because a lot of people forget that officially Maryland has two NFL football teams. You don't think of it with now, the Redskins.
Right. Well, exactly. Do. Now, Lance said 35 million jobless claims. I'm very much aware of the unemployment situation in the United States. He said you can't charge extra. I'm not talking about charging extra. I'm talking about how are they going to make those games available to more people? Are they going to keep the price the same or not? And Kathy Ford says, can they get out of the exclusive deal with DirecTV? Mm-hmm. I really, really doubt that AT&T is going to say, oh, yeah, let's break our contract. This will be fine. Go ahead and sell it to Comcast. Go ahead and sell it to Xfinity. There's no way. There's no way I think that they do that, because the NFL, regardless of what's going on, regardless of how much money they raise for COVID-19 and frontline workers during the NFL draft, they care about the bottom line. This is also why, Dave, you said, I wonder why they're selling tickets. Well, we all saw the Forbes report that the Steelers could lose potentially over $150 million if no fans attend the games. Now let's go to the tough question. And we're going to start with Dave. Let's say that, and a lot has changed. I wish I could go back. It was pretty far back up there, but a lot of people said, you know, a lot has changed with this whole situation, even in the past few months. For instance, today, the CDC released that it's now found that this virus is not really transmittable via touching things as much as we thought it was. So here's the question. Let's say they say, you know, we think that If fans want to go to games, you can go to a game. They're leaving it up to the fans. The tickets will be sold. They're already sold. The turnstiles will be available. If you want to go, go. If you don't, you can just stay home. That's up to you. Dave, if you have that option, are you going to a game?
That's a great question. I honestly have no problem going to a game. My biggest thing is a lot can change between now and then.
Absolutely.
I'm going to a different state and making a large, traveling a large distance. So, I mean, it used to be we're close to two states right here. We, other than the one we live in, and technically we weren't supposed to go either way unless we worked there or else we had to, quarantine for 14 days. So that made it difficult. But these things are now easing up in places. And the question is, are they going to continue to ease or are they not? So if I have the option to go, I'll be honest with you, I don't think I'd take my dad to a game this year.
Right.
I think people that would be more at risk, I think they should stay home. And people that say, I don't feel like there's any risk, go. But every single person understands their own individual risk if they do that. But there's going to be a lot of debate if that's the case. Because they'll say, what about the people you're in contact with later? Well, that's just the way things are going to be for a long time until we figure out more what's going on. I would say I would prefer to not go to a game this year. No, I would prefer to not go to a game this year, but I'm not gonna have my tickets sit there that I paid for and not have someone sitting in the seats. So
your answer is no. You would not.
No, my answer is I would go to a game. I don't feel like I have to go to a game.
But you would go to a game. So if I'm giving you the option, okay, you're gonna go. All right, mm-hmm. That's it. All right. Very good. What about you, Brian? You have the option to go, you going or not?
I'm already planning on trying to go to the Washington game on December 6th in Pittsburgh.
Very good. Okay.
One of our fans has already reached out to me to offer me tickets. So
nice. Awesome. Mm-hmm. And again, we don't know what it's going to be like in September, and we don't know what August is going to bring for training camp and things like that. But as of right now, as we sit here, we know what we know, and people have a different level of comfortability with this situation. And that's why, there's people in the live chat saying, nope, wouldn't go. And there's people that said would go in a heartbeat. It's definitely interesting. I did read a really good, interesting article that wasn't about the NFL. It was
I think Brian, Jeff, are you there?
Actually, yes, Jeff's frozen. There he is.
Okay. Am I back? I was worried it was me. That's why I didn't want to say anything. And then I saw Brian move.
Yeah, I thought it was me too.
Jeff, are you back? Are you back yet? Jeff?
I don't think so.
You seem back to us.
No, you're back.
Okay, very good. I'm frozen on my screen, but you can hear me. We're good.
Yeah, yes, we can hear you.
Okay. All right, good. So the article I read was actually about Major League Baseball. And it was about in regards to what the situation is with them and the fans, because they're in more of a they got to think about now. The NFL can wait. They don't have fans wanting to get in seats right now. And I think that everyone's assuming, and it's a logical assumption, that the NBA, the NHL, and Major League Baseball are at least going to start without anyone there in the stands. And that's logical. I get it. Here's something I didn't think about. These organizations are thinking about, what about the people that still show up? Because right now, social distancing is key. Avoiding large crowds is key. In other words, if the Yankees, well, that's a bad example, being in New York. If the Tampa Bay Rays, because Florida is doing a good job down in Florida, if they're having a home game and they're coming off a good year, what are they going to do if a bunch of fans just show up? Now, they're not going to get in, but they're there, and that's not what anyone wants. There's more layers to this than meets the eye, and it's going to be interesting to know, it'll be interesting to know how things go, but we'll see. Go ahead, Brian. You have something to say?
No. I agree.
Oh, very good. Okay. So I just wanted to get y'all's take on that, especially with you guys, because you go to games more than I do. Dave, you're a season ticket holder. And, season ticket holders, my gosh. I mean, you're spending a lot of money. Yeah. You're spending a lot of money.
And they're honestly, your biggest investment as a season ticket holder is your seat license.
Yeah.
So you make that investment, but you have to buy the tickets every year. And if you don't buy the tickets, you lose your license. It's not like you get paid back or anything for it. It's just gone. So a lot of times there's people people who had one been laid off and two are high risk that didn't have either the income or the ability to even go to games if they had them because of their high risk and they were concerned. And then, you know, and how do you handle that? What do you do? So,
well, here's another question. Here's another question for you, Dave, because you would probably know more about this than I do because it hinges on the salary cap. I read the report that if no fans are in seats for anyone, which I guarantee that the NFL is going to have a uniform policy across the board. They're not going to allow fans in Kansas City and no fans in Pittsburgh, just as an example, or fans in Pittsburgh and no fans in Philly, as an example. I read a report that this could impact the 2021 salary cap. Dave, did you see that?
Yes.
What? I don't understand, because I've read on Steelers.com and a couple other sites where they were talking about how this could hurt a team like Pittsburgh, who's always bellied up to the cap. I don't get how that's uniform and that's fair. I understand how the number goes down, but how can you do that to teams that are spending up to the cap? Do you understand? Can you explain that to me, or maybe to the fans as well?
That's a great question that I wish I had a better explanation with, but it's not going to affect different teams in different ways. It's based on everything. And as my understanding is, the salary cap going up is based on the percentage share that the players are getting of all revenue, correct? Because that was just worked out in the collective bargaining agreement. I mean, I don't know for sure. This is just kind of what my understanding was, which could be off. Yeah. So someone could help me out with this. So if you're talking about the percent, the players are getting a 48 point, you know, right now I think it's 48, that could go to 48.5% share of the revenue. That helps to determine the salary cap and everything else. And if the revenue's down, then everything kind of drops, I understand. So... Yeah.
Brian, do you want to chime in here?
Wrote an article. You put something up on the site the other day that the Steelers could lose more than $150 million. Sure. I know the article says 156, but if there are no fans in the stands, so that's probably what they're looking at, because the owners are going to want some kind of relief for paying their players, and so it could definitely go down. That could be a possibility. I don't know the nuts and bolts of it, but this is just what's rolling around in my 10-cent head.
I guess my question is not, I get that the revenue would be down. That's a natural thing. When you're losing, when one organization could lose $150+ million, that's serious. But I guess I don't understand from a football standpoint how they could, a team like Pittsburgh would get punished because of that. Out of no fault of their own at that, you know, the Steelers didn't cause this pandemic. We're all dealing with it, including all sports teams and organizations. I just don't like the sound of the fact that, okay, we're not going to have fans. I get it. Understand it. Understand the logic behind it. And because of that, if you spent up to the cap in 2020, good luck in 2021. That's what I don't understand. And I don't know if anyone has that answer. You know what I mean? So
real quick, Jeff, I'm not sure about that last statement you made, because if he has James Harrison, he might allege that the Steelers did start COVID-19.
It was in the envelope.
Yeah. You never know with Debo.
Okay. All right.
Sorry, I had to interrupt. Yeah. No, I just killed the thread, but I had to.
You're good at that, both in text message and on the show. All right, so let's switch gears and let's get to the previews part of the show, and that is where we talk about one specific player. Now, we tend to go backwards because everyone else is going from first-round pick to the last seventh-round pick. That's Brian's son, Carlos. We're going to be going opposite, but Dave on the Steelers Stack Geek with Big Bro Rich, they talked about Kevin Dotson on Tuesday. We're not talking about Kevin Dotson this week. We're going to piggyback him and go to the other fourth-round. That'd be a tough piggyback. He's a big guy. We're going to go to Anthony McFarland, the running back out of Maryland. And by the way, let me just say that if you love film room breakdowns, our Jeffrey Benedict, who was on the show with Deputy Dave, I think it was like a month ago, maybe, he did a really good three-part series on how Anthony McFarland, what he brings to the table. Some real good highlights, but not just highlights. It was the good, bad, and the ugly. Really good series. Go check that out on Behind the Steel Curtain. If you can't find it, scroll down the page. There is a tab that says Steelers Film Room. Click on that and you'll get all of them right there, as well as all of our other Film Room articles. So check that out. But guys, when they drafted him, I think we all had mixed emotions. We weren't sure about the pick because we wanted a running back maybe earlier. There was still players, notable players on the board at the time. But let me ask you this question to get this thing started off right. And that is, how do you see Anthony McFarland fitting in to the Steelers offensive system as a rookie? Or do you even see him fitting in as a rookie? Dave, we'll start with you.
I don't see him fitting in a lot as a rookie. I don't see him getting a ton of carries just because they don't give rookie running backs a ton of carries. I mean, in the Kevin Colbert era, back to 2000, with Benny Snell getting 108 carries as a rookie, that was the second most to anybody. The only one that got more was Le'Veon Bell, just in the number of carries, so the number of opportunities. The next most to Snell was 56. They generally don't give more than 50 carries to a rookie running back. They just don't. So I don't see him getting like expecting him to come in and be a guy that's going to, you know, get 15 carries a game. I just don't see that as being realistic just by the way they do it. If he does, it's because of other circumstances going on, or he has just completely played so well that they can't keep him off the field.
It's true. What about you, Brian? What do you think?
Here's the thing. Mike Tomlin came out last week on Steeler Nation Radio. Not Steeler Nation Radio, but Steeler Fan Nation and Steeler Nation Unite. I was actually on the call.
There you got it.
I was on the call. I got a 412 number. I'm like, hey, Mike Tomlin's calling me. And I was all excited. So I listened to it, and I didn't hear all of it because there was an 80s countdown, and I had to go back to that. But really, here's the deal with Mike Tomlin. He's adamant that they're not going to have a running back by committee. And he is, and I mentioned this in my next article that's coming out. There's going to be a part of it on this. It's the fact that Mike Tomlin likes to run the wheels off of running backs. And one of the things that he does is it kind of foreshadows the fact that this is the last year for James Conner. And it's one of those things, run the wheels off him. If he gets hurt, we're probably not having him back next year. That's what it seems like to me. And, you know, I'm a big Mike Tomlin guy. I never criticize, but this is the one thing that drives me crazy. And it's the fact that, you know, you have this formula where you're like, run this guy. We saw what happened with Willie Parker in 2007. It kind of damaged his career. When he was having an amazing year that year, and then broke his leg in the Rams game right before Christmas. You saw it happen with Le'Veon Bell. You also saw it happen with Le'Veon Bell when they knew Le'Veon Bell wasn't coming back. So it kind of seems to me that they're like, okay, we're going to get all we can out of James Conner, and whatever happens, happens. And that's how it feels to me. Anthony McFarland has a place if they'll let him. Who is the real Anthony McFarland? We're hearing different things. We're hearing that this guy is going to be a game changer. We're hearing this guy's going to be Dre Archer. So we just don't know who he's going to be. But the big thing for me is the fact that he needs a platform and he needs a chance to get in there. One, to spell a guy like James Conner. And two, to show what he can do, be a change of pace for the offense, keep the defense on their heels, and see what you can do with more than one guy. Because we're seeing what's happening with some teams that spread it around, and that's a good change of pace. I'm not sure why the Steelers only do that when it's necessity.
You're right. Before I get to my comment, Kevin Johnston, he put $9.99 in the tip jar. He says, hi, guys. Glad I'm having a chance to join you live. Unfortunately, my job can get in the way. Those stupid jobs happen to do that sometimes. Keep up the good work. We appreciate the tip, Kevin. Thank you very much. The one thing I don't want to see happen with this guy is the same thing that happened to Dree Archer. It happened to Chris Rainey. And I'm talking about two running backs that are smaller in stature, maybe similar builds, not so much. Rainey was more slight. I thought like Dree Archer was, he was small guy. Every time they put him on the field, it was like a red flag went up. Up, oh, here we go. Here comes trickeration. Here comes, they're going to try to feed the ball to him. They can't do that with any player, but they can't do it at a running back position when, like you said, Brian, Mike Tomlin loves to run the wheels off of guys. So when James Conner's in there and James Conner, okay, James Conner needs a spell, Benny Snell, James Conner, up, oh, here we go, McFarland. What's going on now? The Steelers got to be creative. And this is the question that any offensive time, anytime you talk about the Steelers offense, it should always lead back to, in my opinion, Randy Land and Matt Canada and what Matt Canada's influence is going to be on the offense, if he has one at all. And they can utilize his skill set if they can do it in a normal set. Again, can he protect Ben Roethlisberger in pass protection? How is he catching the ball out of the backfield? You know, I mean, this is not the University of Maryland now. You know, you're in the National Football League. The competition is tremendous. So
are you sure? Derwin Gray, Antoine Brooks Jr.
Yeah, well, I know. They've got a lot of Terps, and they drafted Sean Davis.
Sean Davis moved on, though, so we can't count him.
He did. I know he's on the team. but still, yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see how they utilize him. Let me go with this. Over-under. Yards, total yards for Anthony McFarland as a rookie. Total yards. 250. Brian, we'll start with you.
Under.
Under. Okay, Dave.
Under. Well, since you're saying total yards, now.
That includes receiving.
I'm assuming you're, but you're not counting return yards, are you?
No, I am not. Because he could is be the kickoff return
guy. So that's easy over. I'm still going to take the over because I think he could get, you know, close to, I mean, 200 yards rushing, and then he might, and then maybe 100 yards receiving. I think, or not even, wouldn't even need 100 yards. You know, he could do 175 rushing and 75 receiving, and boom, he's got it. I could see that. The big question is, will he get the opportunity? This is the same questions we were asked a year ago about Benny Snell. How many carries will he get a game and things like that?
Yeah.
The big question with McFarland, when it comes to like with Snell, we were like, oh, is he going to take away touchdowns from other people? I don't know that McFarland's going to do that. I don't know that he's going to get like many red zone snaps or anything like that. I don't know that he's going to be that guy. So I don't know that we're going to see touchdowns from him unless they're long runs. So. I mean, just think about it. What if he busts one 40-yard run and, you know, all season, that's going to really add to that 250 yards on the year. So I'm going to say over.
Right. But again, you always go back to, will he even get the chance? Like if James Conner stays healthy, it's under. It's under big time. I don't think, unless they have him as a gimmick guy, I just don't. And you throw in, how are they going to utilize Jalen Samuels, assuming he makes the team, this running back issue that they have, and it's not an issue. But it isn't in terms of depth. It's going to be a tough one to, well, it's actually going to be exciting in training camp to see how they play and how they do in the preseason. Brian, any final thoughts? Go ahead, Dave.
I need to answer a question because this was back. Ron Reed asked which rookie running back had the 56 carries that I mentioned. Well, the rookie running back that had 56 carries was actually Jalen Samuels because he started three games, including that 142 yards, I think he had against the Patriots. Yep. Yeah, so he ended up with 56 carries in the season. There was another rookie that had 56 carries. Wasn't a running back. It was Ben Roethlisberger. Had 56 carries. Because remember, Neil Downs count too.
Yeah.
He had 56 carries as a rookie. He had 144 rushing yards as a rookie, which is the exact same number that James Conner had as a rookie. Ben Roethlisberger and James Conner had the exact same rushing yards as a rookie, which is a nice little...
That's funny. I didn't know that.
Okay,
but I wanted to throw out... Yeah.
I just want to say something to you. I've got one for you to look up. 1993, Leroy Thompson was a rookie and started a lot of that season because of problems with Barry Foster's ankle or whatever was going on with him. I believe he had 756 some yards as a rookie, so he probably had a lot of carries. So I would probably think he had more than Ben.
Well, now this was since 2000. This was I said this earlier. This was in the Colbert era because you just can't go back to everything too much.
You've gone back to 1933 before, Dave.
It was a whole page of people already just doing the Colbert era. That's why
what I about there. What about Dick Schiener?
Yeah, what about How Dick Schiener? Carry? What was the other one? What was the one you said to us? Buzz Nutter. What Buzz about Buzz Nutter?
I knew Jeff would love Buzz Nutter. He's better than Dick Schiener.
No way. Buzz Nutter is not better than Dick Schiener.
Dick Schiener is the second best number 17 in Pittsburgh Steeler history, though.
Brian, I'm telling you, you need an article of top 10 Steelers players' names to ever
inappropriate name. I don't think Buzz Nutter is that.
No, you could do funny because did you know who the first ever draft pick of the Steelers was? Is William Shakespeare.
William Shakespeare, yeah.
Who didn't? I don't even think he played. I think he ended up going off to wars. I don't know.
But your boy Dick Schiener is now in the Urban Dictionary. He's famous in the
Urban Dictionary. You sent me that.
It's on a coffee cup. I was like,
I will expect that for Christmas this year. Dick Schiener guys, coffee mug.
You'll get it.
One thing to bring back the McFarland thing before we finish.
Oh, we're talking about Anthony McFarland.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I tried to kill that thread.
Well, I was afraid you were going to go on. I wasn't going to get to say this one thing. Come on. We could bring it back to Dick Schiener anytime we want to. But remember that McFarland, a lot of people has compared him to Kareth White. Kareth White in six games last year had 122 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think if he would have played a whole season with the Steelers, now the reason he got so many yards was because of the unavailability of the other running backs. So that makes it really difficult to see. But I'm just saying that if you could take someone like that only played six games with the Steelers and had 122 yards, even someone like McFarland, if he plays every game, could double that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. Do we have trivia tonight, Dave?
My trivia question is like Brian Anthony Davis at 2 a.m. It is very quick and easy.
All right, Dave, Brian, do you have one?
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead there, Deputy Dave.
Okay. My trivia question is very simple. We're talking running backs. What is the middle name of James Conner?
This is right up Brian's alley. He always knows the name stuff. No, I'm not looking it up.
I can give you a hint if Brian's not looking it up.
No, I'm looking up my trivia question, but okay. I do not know.
My hint is he has the same middle name as another famous James.
Brown? Vanderbeek?
Probably probably the most famous James that goes by three names.
I don't know. Vanderbeek. Oh my gosh.
We got it from Steelers Pittsburgh and from Ali and Donald Nolan. His middle name is Earl.
My name is Earl.
James Earl Conner.
James Earl Conner.
yeah. So, in case Jeff doesn't realize, it's because of James Earl Jones, who was the voice of Darth Vader. That's why. But it's funny. My wife even went further when I asked her this question, just out of fun. What's that?
Somebody put
Tiberius. That's what my wife said. My wife said Tiberius.
Oh, somebody just put it on the screen.
Anyone know? I'm going to put that on there. Anyone know who that guy is? His little avatar there. I do.
That's from Punch Out, right?
That's from Punch Out. What's his name?
Yeah, Punch Out.
What's his name?
Let's see. It's not Gabby J. That was the. No. He was the French guy, the old guy that you knocked out in 8 seconds.
That was a blast draw.
Okay. See, I didn't have a Nintendo. I had to go to a friend's house and play it. No, but Tiberius. You know what that's from, Brian?
No.
James Tiberius.
There it is. Ron got it. Soda Popinski. I was Soda Popinski. He wasn't
James
my favorite.
Tiberius Kirk.
Very yep. good. That was a good Dark trivia.
Storm. Right out there.
All right, Brian, what's your trivia tonight?
All right. So I actually have two, and they're quick and easy. First of all, what number for the Steelers did Buzz Nutter wear?
You text that to me. I should have that. You text that
what
to us.
What number did Buzz Nutter wear?
Yes.
What position did he play?
He was a center / linebacker.
Okay.
And he is from the state of West Virginia, Summersville.
Really?
Yep.
That's interesting. I'm not from Summersville.
Shot in the dark.
Go ahead.
42.
No.
56.
Just throwing it out there.
You're close, Potsy.
Are you telling me that it's Potsy? He's 51?
Yeah.
51. There you go. All right. What's the second one?
All right. We talk about this fella a lot. Dan McCullers. And Dave, I might have told you this the other day, so you might be excluded from this if I did tell you this one. What is Dan McCullers' full name? I'm not talking middle name. You don't have to throw a middle name in there. What is his last name?
What's his last name? McCullers?
What is Dan McCullers' last name?
Yeah, it's like asking you what's Dikembe Mutombo's full name.
Dan McCullers.
Kathy said the answer is Shade. Last name, Tree.
And it's not Daniel Christian Scotland Williamson McCullers.
Yes.
He's a hyphen. He has a hyphen.
Really?
I didn't know this.
Ray is correct. Ray is his middle name. It's Daniel Ray McCullers - Sanders.
Huh.
So he's now the Colonel.
Oh, yep. Scott had it in there.
Yeah, so there you go. I just found that out the other day when I was doing some research for an article that I've yet to run. But Daniel Ray McCullers - Sanders. There you go.
There you go. But it's not on his jersey.
No.
He just has McCullers on there.
So Sanders is his father's name. And so he was going by his mother's last name, and he decided to hyphen it. Yeah, definitely will not. Even on Mark Davison says won't fit on the jersey. Even Daniel McCullers, as big as that jersey is, that's not fitting.
McCullers Sanders?
That's almost as long as my Twitter handle.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it's not that long. That's what she said. Okay. My trivia question is, does anyone want to take a stab at the winning percentage of the Steelers in terms of their overall regular season record?
542.
Franchise.
So from the – let's go from since the NFL merger in 1970. That's what I looked up.
A lot higher. Okay. I would have said all-time 542. So I'm going to say 625.
Ooh, really close.
I was going to say 642.
It's actually 635. 635.
This is right rules, Dave. I win.
That's right. But then
say that beforehand.
Second part, what about including the playoffs? That was just regular season.
Ooh.
So what are they like 39 and 21 in the playoffs? Something like that.
I can't tell you that.
Okay.
Let's go 642.
Brian?
That's what my last guess was.
643.
It's actually the exact same. 635. It's 635 for both regular season and when you include the playoff game since the 1970 merger. I saw those two numbers like, well, that's pretty crazy. That is the exact same. So there you go. There you go. All right. Real quick to end the show here. Might not be real quick, I guess. I want to make a quick announcement for those that are viewing and watching live or listening on audio platform. And that is that I'm going to be leaving behindthesteelcurtain.com. And I'm not leaving angry. I'm not some angry, pissed off employee. The team that we have set up here is tremendous, but I got an opportunity to work with Dejan Kovacevic at DK Pittsburgh Sports and be a part of his Steelers team and to be a content manager for him. And so I'm taking that position for a lot of different reasons. It seems to be what's best for my family. It's also a step in the right direction for me in regards to leaving the blogosphere and going to a affiliate, like an actual accredited website. So will you see me at training camp, maybe behind the ropes? It's a possibility. If I go up there, I could get the access necessary. Would you ever see me at a game in a press box? Yeah, that's a possibility now too. I really, really want to thank these two guys who came on board, especially Dave, because I coerced him into joining the site at a softball game or before my softball game. What was it, in 2018, Dave? Didn't that happen?
Yes.
Yeah. 2018. And Brian, my God,
coerced me. I was basically begging him to let me publish something of mine, please.
Brian, I mean, my goodness, his daughter and my son have gone to school together. They're the same grade, and they're heading off to middle school next year. And I saw him. We were always, I wear Pittsburgh stuff. Like, I'm wearing a Pirate shirt right now. 99% of my wardrobe is something Pittsburgh. He came up, started talking. I was like, oh yeah, I run a website. Why don't you come on and write? And then I turned him into a podcaster, and things have really grown a lot since I took over the site. I've been the editor over five years, almost six seasons now. And you know, you just get the feeling that you kind of tapped out, and I'm still going to be on the show Sunday. I'm going to finish out the month. Next Thursday will be my last show. I wanted it to be with these guys here, and I'll do my show on Wednesday with Lance. The standard is the standard. It wasn't an easy decision. I want everyone to know that, even though that it's a good opportunity, it was not an easy decision. Even these people that are right now, you know, like saying, no, don't do it in the live chat. I really appreciate everyone. We've grown this channel to almost 6,000 people. Brianna says, please take Lance with you.
Poor Lance. Oh,
Lance goodness. Is in the live chat. Don't.
There's, you know, someone said, you know, where could you find me? If you still want to follow my work, not necessarily podcasting yet. It's something I want to bring up today on about potentially opening. They don't really do podcasts there, but that might be down the road. But if you want to follow me, my Instagram handle's there on underneath my little image picture there. You can follow me on my personal Twitter, which is at BNGBlitz. And you can go and follow my work at DKPittsburghSports.com. If you know Dale Lally from Steelers Nation Radio, I'll be working with him. He's the main beat writer at DK Pittsburgh Sports. I am not naive enough to think that anyone that's listening to this only goes to one website for their Steelers news. And I know that we have readers that go to Steelers Depot and they come to Behind the Steel Curtain and they check out our YouTube channel and they go other places. Make DKPittsburghSports.com one of your stops. I don't think you'll regret it. And plus, they're turning it from a premium site to a pay plus site is what they call it now. Like ESPN has ESPN Plus, that's what they're going to. Kevin asked, am I leaving my teaching job? No, I'm still going to be able to do both. That's one of the benefits, and it should actually give me a little bit more free time with my family, which is important. But Lance asked, is it free? The app is free. The vast majority of the content will be free. The premium stuff, like Chris Carter, who used to be a BTSE guy, his breakdowns will be premium. Dale's insider dives will be premium. So, but most of it, like all my writing, it'll be free. So if you want to stay tuned to that, you can add that along your long list. But guys, I'll sell this to Lance again on Sunday and Wednesday. Trust me, we'll be able to have good on memory lane more than once here. But at the same time, I want to also say that Mr. Deputy Dave's going to have to change his name because he's now going to be, he's being promoted. So there you go. Yeah. Dave is the
name. I had to put him as the name one last time. So
well, you switch it next week, I guess, if you want.
Yeah. You'll just be Double D now.
Yeah. I had to give you a chance to call me that.
Let's hear. Someone asked me to put it in the, there we go. I'll put there. DKPittsburghSports.com. DK stands for Dejan Kovacevic, who was the creator of the website, and he's been writing about Pittsburgh sports his entire life. So, and Brian, guys, I don't want to end on like a sour note or, you know, down in the dumps, but honestly, you guys are awesome. You guys are really awesome. And I'm going to miss doing these podcasts with you guys. Hey, maybe you'll invite me back one time or two. I'll still be here.
One time.
No, I mean, this is not the last you see of Jeff on here. We're going to make it happen. If I could just jump in real quick. I know this is not next week, but if I could say something now.
Oh, actually, I want to say something first.
Oh, boy.
That although I'm going to be stepping up as editor of the website.
Yep.
Brian is going to be stepping up and will be managing the podcasts. So we're kind of splitting up the responsibility of that part of it a little bit. So by saying that, now I want Brian to say what he's going to say.
Okay. It had nothing to do with that, but thank you.
Okay.
we are not going away. So somebody asked, I believe, I'm not sure who asked, was it Reggie or, but somebody asked, does that mean the shows are over? No, we're going to continue to be back here. Hopefully Jeff will be back as a guest. And we could talk about his new gig and beg for tickets and beg for access. but seriously, one thing that I talk about all the time here, and first of all, Jeff and I met today. I've known about this since the beginning of the week, but Jeff and I talked today to talk about something, and he scolded me and said, no crying. And I'm trying my best because I'm an emotional person. But when I talk about BTSC, and I talk about on almost every show, how we can't do this show without all you in here. We're a family. Jeff is the patriarch of our family. And I owe a lot to him. And Dave and I were talking. And the thing about this, when he first said it to me, it wasn't a punch in the gut. It was like, awesome, because I was so happy for him because I feel like he's my family. I feel like Dave's my family. I feel like everybody out there is our family. But we've grown tight over the last 5 years. And it's really special to see him get this opportunity. So I am thrilled to death. And I'm going to miss the heck out of you because when we laugh about a guy like, not many people would let me talk about a guy like Dick Shiner. not a lot of people would let me talk about 2 a.m. stories. I would have been kicked out of a lot of places for just having my personality. And Jeff and I have never had an argument in 5 years. And
nope.
I love you, man. And I really do. And I am so thrilled for you. I'm glad that we live two streets apart and I'm going to see you. So I feel blessed that I get to do that. But, you know, when it's not going to be the same. But we're going to carry the spirit. And that's all I can say.
I appreciate that for sure. And Dave's going to do a great job.
Absolutely.
Most people don't know. I used to do both the editor side and the producer side of the podcast. So he's splitting it up. It's better for everyone. They're all going to do a great job. Do not leave the channel. Shield 91 puts $2 in the tip jar and says, oh, okay, now I'm crying. Congratulations, Jeff. Thank you very much. I appreciate all the congratulations. And again, this wasn't an easy decision. How are the shows going to, are there going to be new faces on the channel? Yeah, probably. Are the shows going to change a little bit? Possibly. Am I taking your microphone? I bought my microphone. Kathy, this is my microphone. I'm not giving my microphone.
But no, I called Tony tonight and told him he's getting one. He's thrilled.
Yes. I'll send it to him.
Get that you can't let it rust up or anything, Jeff. You're going to have to use it every once in a while. So you've got to come back to us some. You've got to do some fill-in spots. We like the guys and appreciate the guys at DK Pittsburgh Sports. So we're hoping that, you know, we've had a good relationship with them over the years. When I say we, it wasn't even me because I'm not one of the guys that's been here nearly as long as you two, but I'm going to say Jeff kind of made me mad when he told me about this. He kind of made me mad because for the last, I guess it would be 8 months, Jeff Hartman is the only other person in my life I've communicated with every day other than those people living in my house. There's not been one day that has gone by that I've not communicated with Jeff Hartman. So it's like, dang, I'm just going to lose that out of nowhere. I'm like, come on. But no, we're really happy for Jeff. I did not want Jeff's job. Trust me, I would much rather have Jeff stay here with us, but I am glad that Jeff is doing it. It's an amazing opportunity. There's no way Jeff should turn it down.
Oh, Isaac just chimed in. Oh my gosh. What a horrible time to just join the show.
That's awful.
Isaac joins $5. He says, "What did I miss? Jeff is leaving." Yeah, I'm moving on to another DKPittsburghSports.com. I will be writing up an official like announcement, kind of farewell article for the website tomorrow. So if you want to go to behindthesteelcurtain.com and check that out, you can do so. But again, I will still be on the show Sunday with Lance. I'll be on next Wednesday. The standard is the standard. And I will be back here next Thursday for my farewell. And I hope you all know, and I said this to these guys before we went on the air, next Thursday, if you're expecting hardcore Steelers talk, I don't know, tune into the very beginning, because it's not going to be long. It's going to be a show of debauchery, probably. I'm going out with a bang. So there you go. But thanks, everyone in the live chat, for the congratulatory messages. And it's going to be good. Trust me, it's going to be good. Nothing's going to change. The quality is going to be the same. And you won't even miss me. By the time the season rolls around, I'll be like, who is this Jeff guy? And then I'll show up and they'll be like, oh, I remember him. That annoying guy. So there you go. Gentlemen, thank you for your time. Everyone that is in the live chat, thank you for watching with us live. Isaac, really sorry to break that to you at the end of the show. That's tough. we'll see you next week for another episode of the Steelers Preview. Stay safe, everyone, and be kind to each other. Take it easy.